Last week, we looked at the importance of living for today, using each day that we are granted to serve God, to see how we should be fearing God every day, praying to God every day, examining the Scriptures and encouraging one another on a daily basis. And in doing this, each day we are preparing ourselves for that final day, that eternal day that we will spend with God. And as we seek to focus more on God, and we can see the need to read and meditate on Scripture, and it becomes more and more apparent the importance that we should place on reading and studying the Word of God, meditating on the things that are found therein. And it's an excellent aid to encourage us in encouraging one another as well. As if we join together in reading, and we can talk about the things that we've read and encourage one another to read. And this year you've been encouraged to read from the book of Matthew. You've been reading about 2 chapters a week. And we've been going through the book of Matthew in our Bible study to try and help encourage that reading, to get you to think more about the things that you're reading. And it's good that we're giving more attention. I hope that we all are giving more attention in regular reading and studying from the Word of God. If you've ever taken the time to read through the book of Psalms, you can see rather quickly that the idea of reading and meditating on the Word of God is a very important part of the ones who wrote the various Psalms that we have. If you look over in Psalm 1, the very first Psalm there we have, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." And so you see there in that very first Psalm that blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. But how many of us have difficulty, it seems, in our lives in delighting in the Word of God? Bible reading is down amongst those claiming to be Christians, even though we live in a time where reading and consuming the things within the Bible is easier than ever before. You can find the text of the Bible in so many different formats nowadays, many different translations. You can have a physical copy, you can have digital copies, you can have audio copies, you can read it freely in just about any place, anywhere here in the United States. You can go and sit in your local favorite park and open up your Bible and read from it. You can read from it on a train, and on a plane, on a submarine if you have that chance, and you can read the Bible anywhere that you want. And you can listen while you're reading and read for ourselves, or you can read with others. Yet even with all of these advantages, and we're going to be looking at some excuses that people give for reading, but even with all of these advantages, 1/3 never have read the Bible. Never listen to or pray with the Bible. But when you look in various polls that are given, it is seen that most Americans, at least the ones that they call, it's an open poll, most Americans desire greater Bible use. Even, you know, when you look at all of those that they sat down and called, you know, most of them desire it. Even those who claim to be Bible skeptics, even there's 22% that are like, yeah, I would like to use the Bible a little more. And again, it's not due to lack of access. The majority of households own a Bible. 87% of the households in America own a Bible. Now, how many of you own more than one? Two? Three? Five? We packed at my dad's library, and there was
a shelf there with all of his Bibles, and we turn around, and there's more over here, and that's just kind of what preachers do. And Christians, oftentimes, we just kind of collect these Bibles. And I mean, think about it. If you have the Bible on your phone, how many Bibles do you have on your phone? You have all those translations available. They're individual copies of the Bible. The majority of households have a Bible, but the frequency of which it is read, how often? A fourth of them there along the top, never. And you've got 11 to 15% is the high point there on that blue line of those who read every day. Again, when you look at this and you can see that the Bible is more available than ever before, it is used less and less, and the numbers are continuing to decrease. The blue is those who, who wish that they use the Bible more in the United States from the period of time of 2011 to 2019. And you can see that number is steadily going down, and the number of those who don't want to use the Bible more is steadily going up. And again, we live in a time where, you know, it's more readily available than ever before. Now, there are a number of excuses that people make as to why they're not engaging with the Scriptures more, why they aren't spending more time with the Bible. And so this morning I would like to take a look at a few of those excuses and looking at some of the more prominent ones, the ones that perhaps we are probably more likely to be making in our own lives as to why we are not reading the Bible enough. And probably the most frequently given excuse, and the most honest as well, is I just don't have time. And yet we live in a time of life with more time-saving devices than ever before. Think about it. You know, like 100 years ago, what did you have to do to prepare a meal? You lived in certain areas. You had to go out and you had to cut down some wood and prepare, or you had to get the fire going. You had to get the cook stove going, and then you had to go and kill the chicken, and you had to go and gather the other things that you need for that meal and everything. Whereas now you just go and you open up the refrigerator. And you grab a prepackaged meal out of the refrigerator or out of the freezer. You go over to that little magic device that's there in a lot of kitchens, and you open up the door, you pop that in there, you put about 2 or 3 minutes on, and boom, it's done. It's not the most delicious meal you'll ever have in your life because it's cooked by magic and not by fire like it should be, but it's done, and it's providing you with nourishment. You think about how quickly we can wash clothes, how quickly we can travel, all the things that we can do so much faster, so much easier than ever before, and yet we claim we don't have enough time. From the moment our eyes open in the morning until we finally fall back into bed exhausted at night, our day seems packed, and trying to fit one more thing into our lives just seems impossible. With kids going and doing things for school, working, existing, our time is gone. However, we have time for other things, don't we? Today's the superb owl day, I think, is what some people are saying. Super Bowl game. And a lot of people are setting aside a large block of time to watch the Super Bowl. No fault in that. I set aside large blocks of time, as you'll see later in this sermon. But we have time for so many other things. The average televised football game is over 3 hours. About the same length for a televised baseball game. The average length of a movie nowadays is around 2 hours, with some blockbusters clocking in at 3, or the really nerdy ones like me, they clock in close to 4 hours. Television shows generally come in 2 time formats. If you're watching them on regular cable TV, 1 hour and 30 minutes. Those 1 hour shows are around 41 to 42 minutes for those of you who are like me and do more streaming. And the 30 minute comedy shows clock in around 21 to 22 minutes. And with the coming of DVDs and binge watching, we really began with that. And then, of course, streaming just really made that easier, where you could just turn on a show and Netflix eventually will say, hey, are you still there? Because you're just watching episode after episode. Now think about this. To watch all of the episodes of Friends, that 90s hit, 121 hours. That 2000s hit, The Office, that's really famous, one of the most streamed shows ever, 99 and a half hours. Now I'm going to hit me where it hurts. Marvel Cinematic Universe, that's all of those superhero movies and everything that's been coming out, close to 60 hours now with the new Spider-Man movie and some of the others that are coming out. To go old school with the Star Wars saga, 25 hours, and that's not adding the TV shows and such that are available nowadays. Now let's hit really old school. Andy Griffith Show. I mean, here like the Andy Griffith Show. Watched a lot of the episodes. 126 and a half hours to get all the way through the Andy Griffith Show. Now I understand a lot of times we just turn these things on while we're doing certain things. We may not be paying that much attention to it. But if we're honest, we give way too much time to these things. In fact, you look at a chart of daily television watching, you might look and go, oh, it's getting less. It was 4 hours a day. Now it's just 3.22 hours a day. But here's why it's getting less. We have something else that we can devote a lot of time and attention to, and that's social media. You see, social media, as television watching is going down, social media use is going up. You know, you can, there's certain apps that you can have for your phone that will tell you how much time you spend on social media. Have you ever stopped to look at that? To see the amount of time that we're spending in all these different methods of being in close contact? Well, you might go, well, I don't watch that much TV and social media, I have nothing to do with that. Well, you know, for the majority of my life, books were my downtime. They were my pleasure. They were what I spent time on. And so I read a lot. Lord of the Rings, my favorite books, 40 hours to read the Lord of the Rings. The Harry Potter series, 90 hours. The Hunger Games series, 25 hours. The old book, To Kill a Mockingbird, 8.5 hours. To read Gone with the Wind, 35 hours. The Bible, 66 hours. We're not talking about binge reading, devoting entire days to reading through the Bible, start to finish. I'm going to read it, and it said that I could do it in 66 hours, and I'm going to read it in those 66 hours. That's not what we're talking about. The point is, when you consider the amount of time that we spend watching TV, perusing social media, reading novels that we enjoy, following after sports and reading all the news of this world, we might find that we've been wasting or using a lot of time that we say we don't have, that we could devote at least a portion of that time to reading the Word of God. But too many times when it comes down to reading the Bible, folks have the mindset of we ain't got time for that. Are you aware that you can read through the entire Bible in 1 year with just devoting 15 minutes a day? 15 minutes a day, 365 days out of a year, you will have read from the book of Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation. Now, how many of us truly have the audacity to say that we can't devote 1% of the 24 hours we have each day to reading the Word of God? That's what 15 minutes is. It's 1% of our 24-hour day. Just switching from watching cable television with commercials to watching streaming without commercials, you get 10 minutes, just about an episode of whatever you're watching. You save way more than that 15 minutes of time in just a couple of shows. The problem here is that we're trying to find time. And I don't know about any of y'all. I've never opened up a closet and there was a calendar that says, hey, you've got a whole week here, or you've got an extra hour here in this day. Time's not hiding anywhere. You have to make time for the things that are important to you. And if our focus is truly on heaven, it will determine our priorities, and reading the Word of God should be very high on our priorities. If we want to spend eternity with God, we should have a great desire to read and study His Word. It all comes down to what matters the most of us. And I'm not saying you have to stop watching television. Stop perusing social media. Stop watching sports or reading your favorite novels or engaging in certain activities. I'm just saying take some of that time and devote it to something that has a much higher purpose, a much higher value. And just, you know, start with something small. Start with smaller increments of time, whether it's in the morning or at lunch or in the evening. Give that 1% of the day to reading the Word of God. Give that time and do it regularly. They say it takes 30 days to establish a habit.
And so if you give that 30 days, 15 minutes a day, for those 30 days, you will begin to establish the habit of daily reading of the Scriptures. And that's all that we're asking. That's all that, don't try to go too big. Because the other excuse that many people give is they become overwhelmed. You look, I said it, 66 hours to read the Bible. Oh, I couldn't do that. 66 hours, that's a long time. And yet here's a fellow who has read the Silmarillion, which is the prequel to The Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings, and The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. Remember, The Lord of the Rings was 40 hours, so you're looking at over 60 hours, and I've read all those multiple times. And you think about some of those TV shows that I've mentioned, how many of you have watched a lot of those episodes more than once in your lifetime? But it is overwhelming. Because a lot of people, when they begin reading the Bible, what do? They open up and go, I'm going to begin reading the Bible this year. And so they open up to the book of Genesis. And chapter 1's awesome. It's great. It's wonderful. Creation of the world. A lot of things going on. Chapter 2, it's kind of interesting too. And chapter 3, things get a little juicy in chapter 3. I like chapter 3. And then you get into leading towards the genealogies and these names. There's another genealogy. And it doesn't take very long for us to become overwhelmed. The main reason a lot of people don't read The Lord of the Rings or don't sit down and watch The Lord of the Rings, and you'll understand, I'm a Lord of the Rings fanatic, okay? I am. I admit it. I enjoy The Lord of the Rings. Read it, watched it. I have the extended versions where if you sit down and watch the extended version, you're watching 12 hours of TV if you watch all three of those movies, the extended versions. So I understand. I may not be on other things, but I understand, the amount of time we put into certain things. Like I said, the Bible is 66 hours to read, but the thing is, it's two separate volumes, the Bible is. And those two different volumes are made up of a number of books. You've got 66 individual books total, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. And so don't look at it as that's just a huge book. I remember when Austin really kind of began to, we were helping getting him into reading, and he would come into my office, and I have all the books that I've read and everything, and he'd look at these big novels and stuff, and he's like, that's huge. And that's the way people are. When they look at the Bible, they lift it up and say, that's huge, it's a lot. When you look at the Bible alone, it can be, but when you break it down, it's not quite so bad. Now, the first couple of books of the Bible, I know it's really hard to see, so I'm going to read it for you. The book of Genesis takes about 3.5 hours to read. Exodus, 3 hours. Leviticus, 2 hours. Numbers, 3 hours. You see those first several books, they're multi-hours if you're going to sit there and read the entire book, but you can read the book of Ruth in 15 minutes. Many of the prophets are under 15 minutes. What is it? Obadiah, 4 minutes. You see, you break it down into smaller sections, and it's much easier to go, I can give 4 minutes to read the book of Obadiah. And you may not understand all there is to know about the book of Obadiah when you get done, but you're going to know a little bit more than you did before. And so don't think about, the size of the Bible, let it as a whole intimidate you, but look at it in the smaller parts. And again, this is one of the wonderful things about the time that we're living, is that you can get the Bible in so many different formats. It's not quite so overwhelming when you open up the Bible on your digital device and you just pull up a book, and it's not like 1,000 pages looking at you. It's just like that one page. It can be a little bit less intimidating. And you can even find copies of the Bible that are just the Gospels. I have a backpack sitting on my bench in my office that I was going to bring with me that has several reader copies that I have of the Bible. And one of them is just the Gospels. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's in the English Standard Version. And it's no chapters, no verses. It's just the text. And I think that's another reason, that people get overwhelmed is we get focused on chapters and verses instead of looking at, the actual passage and getting the full context. Another reason is, they don't know where to start. When somebody asks me where is a good place to start in reading the Bible, I don't tell them the book of Genesis. That's one of the worst places to send them right out front. Because it's long, 3.5 hours. There's a lot of names, a lot of things going on, and none of it really applies to them that much in their day-to-day life right now, in them coming to know Jesus better.
When someone asks me where to start, I say start with the book of Luke and Acts. Both of them are written by Luke. You have the ministry of Christ, the life of Christ there in the book of Luke, and it goes right into the establishment of the church. With Luke and Acts, you get everything that you really need to know. Jesus is the Messiah. He died on the cross. And here's how I can be a part of His kingdom, His church, that was established there on the day of Pentecost. Now, when you look in the New Testament, Luke takes 2.5 hours to read. And the book of Acts is about 2.25 hours. So that's 2 long books. You want me to get 5 hours to reading? Well, think about it. Break that up over a month. That 5 hours breaks down pretty quickly, doesn't it? But if they're like, I just don't know. What about the book of Mark? The book of Mark can be read in 1.5 hours. For some, it can be read in 30 minutes. I don't consider myself a fast reader. My wife always says, you read fast. I'm like, no, I'm an endurance reader. I can read for long periods of time. I mean, I went with her brother to Books A Million years ago and picked up a John Grisham book, read most of it while he was looking at his hunting magazines, and then came home and finished it when I got home because I read all night. I can endurance read, but speed read, no. But you can. I don't read fast, but the book of Mark can even be read in around 30 minutes with just a normal reading speed. Again, we allow ourselves to become overwhelmed with these things, and we shouldn't. Others, they become overwhelmed with the Bible because they feel that it's just too confusing. And let's be honest, it can be, can't it? Because the Bible, especially the Old Testament, and even looking at the New Testament, it doesn't exactly follow chronological order. They've been studying the book of Genesis there in Tupelo. And one of the things that you note when you're looking at the book of Genesis and reading it is that the Bible will kind of come up, and I love it, it comes up, and Isaac dies. All right? And then you jump back in time and have a bunch of events because Isaac doesn't technically die until 10 years before the end of the book of Genesis when Jacob comes down. He's alive when Joseph is sold into slavery. He's alive while Joseph is there in prison in Egypt. He's alive and goes to his death thinking Joseph was killed by wild beasts. But the Bible says Isaac died and then it carries on and you have the same thing over and over throughout. It doesn't exactly follow in chronological order. Several individuals that you find when you're reading the period of time of the divided kingdom in 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you have people with the same name in different nations ruling just about at the same time. And it can be very overwhelming. And so, that's why I say, start somewhere a little bit simpler. Start small. Don't have the idea that you have to come to a complete and total understanding of the Bible as you read through it in a year. Start small. Read the book of Mark. Get out of it what you can. Read it again. Get a little bit more. Read it again. Get a little bit more. You're giving more time to the Gospels. You're learning more about Jesus. You're learning more about His Word, His plan, and what He has for you. Start small and strive to understand small. It's often been said that the Bible is its own best commentary. And the thing is, when you start, think of it like a 1,000-piece puzzle. You ever laid 1,000 pieces of a puzzle out on a table and think, oh my, how are we ever going to fit all those together? Well, what do you do? Do you try to visualize everything and bring it all together, or do you start focusing on one section? Well, here's a corner piece. Well, here's another corner piece. And you start putting together these pieces slowly. And the sides start to develop, and then you start adding to those sides. And you might have a couple pieces there in the middle. As you're looking, you see they start to kind of fit together, and slowly the picture begins to emerge. The Bible's the same thing. The more you understand certain sections over here, the more it explains other sections over there. And it helps you to understand the more you give time with this. Now, for a lot of people, it might be that it's overwhelming because you're just not a great reader. I love to read. I always have. I've always been a voracious reader. My wife is dyslexic. Reading is the last thing in the world she wanted to do. My daughter, dyslexic. Reading was not an easy thing for her. She gained a love for reading, and then my son is more dyslexic than the other two. But he's read multiple books. Even though it's not something that comes easy to him. Because books on audio, linked with the text. and listen while he reads. You know what we have? The Bible is on audio. Maybe you're not a great reader. Maybe you're a slow reader. How's your listening? Can you listen pretty well? Listen to the Bible. You know, I think most cars nowadays have this handy-dandy little thing called a stereo with speakers that a lot of the newer ones you can attach your phone to, and you can send audio from your phone. And if you've got the Bible app, especially like the YouVersion on your phone, it comes with, you can have audio versions of like the King James, the English Standard, New American Standard, New International, all these different translations. There's an audio version available, and you can just play it in your car while you're driving to work. How long does it take you to get to work? Was it 20 minutes for her to get into Tupelo? That's 20 minutes listening to the Word of God. Again, break it down. You do it while you can. Find that time. Make that time. Others are overwhelmed because they just don't think they're smart enough to understand it. The New American Standard Bible, English Standard, and the King James Version are all on the 10th to 12th grade reading level. It's on a high school reading level. The New International Version, the Holman Christian Standard Bible, the New King James Version, are on a 7th to 8th grade reading level. Many of the paraphrase translations are on a 4th to 6th grade reading level. Perhaps if the version you're reading is a little too difficult, take a step down. Find one that's a little bit easier to read and to understand. I know a lot of people have a problem with these paraphrase translations, and they're not great for study Bibles, but they are good for devotional reading and for getting kind of the main thought of a particular passage. And so perhaps you need to change your translation for your daily reading to help you comprehend a little better and to retain a little more of what you're reading. But then another reason that people give is they're not overwhelmed. They just find it boring. Every time I start reading it, I just find myself falling asleep. I start zoning out. I don't remember anything that I've read. I don't really get anything out of it. They go on and on. And I think of it, you know, you're saying a series of books that have murder, intrigue, adultery, wars, political wrangling, love stories, stories of redemption, stories of personal sacrifice. That's boring. Maybe we're reading it with the wrong mindset. It sounds a lot like some of the bestsellers that I have in my office. I have a lot of my religious books on one side and all my other books, the novels about, like, you know, there's a lot in the Bible that's a lot like the books that are on the other side of my office. Very intriguing reading. But again, perhaps we need to change our perspective when we go to reading the Bible. Keep in mind, when you sit down to read, who's the author of that? I'm not talking about Moses or Paul or Peter. Who's the author? The creator of this world is the author. If you look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, there in verse 16, Paul says that all Scripture is inspired by God. I like the way the English Standard Version reads there. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. When you put it in the right perspective, this is the words of the Creator. That should change how you view it when you read it. And as Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. These words provide us with what we need to know to be saved. They provide us with the power to salvation. It contains the greatest, the answers to the greatest questions of life. How did we get here? Where are we going? What happens after we die? It's all right there in the Scriptures. One thing I've noticed is that the majority of people generally have been reading the exact same translation from when they first received the Bible. They were given the King James Version as a child. They continued reading the King James Version all the way through. They were given the New King James Version as a child. They continued reading the New King James Version. Now, what happens when you read the same thing in the same way over and over and over? What do you begin to do? I know what I'm guilty of. When you've read a passage 1,000 times and you come on that passage, what do? You skip it. You know what it says. You've read it. You understand it. and you just skip over it. And you're missing a very important part. One of the things I encourage people to do when they're reading the Bible, when they're wanting to get more out of their reading, when they're wanting to stay focused in their reading, choose a different translation completely. I'm not saying go from the King James Version to the New King James. There's not enough difference there. Swap from the King James Version to the New American Standard or the English Standard or the Christian Standard Bible. Just swap it. I'm not saying this is it. You're swapping from the Bible that you've grown up with and that you know and you love, and this is the only other Bible you're going to use. I'm just saying use this other translation in your reading, because one of the things I noted when I swapped from the New American Standard, well, I started out with King James, and then I went to the New King James, and then when I started preaching, I went to the New American Standard, and I preached out of the New American Standard for 20 years. And then I started swapping over to the English Standard. And one of the things I noticed is that each time I swapped, verses looked new, said the exact same thing, but they caught my eyes in different ways. And so a reading that I'd read 1,000 times looked fresh and new and kept my attention better than it had before. Now, something else I think was worth noting is, any of you read novels? Anyone? Am I the only one here that reads novels? Have you ever read a novel that has chapters and verses? Each line is broken up in little verses. You ever read a book like that? Imagine watching a TV show where, you know, every 2 minutes, it's like, pause. Now, you'll be in the next section. How many of you have a Bible where the verses are broken up separately? Now, those are great for study. I love those. For study and for marking, because you can kind of get separate things. But when we focus on the chapters and verses, we lose certain parts of it. Do you know when the verses were added? It wasn't until the 13th century, over 1,000 years after the Bible was completed, that a fellow by the name of Archbishop Stephen Langton added chapters to the Bible. Paul didn't write in chapters. Luke did not write in chapters. Moses did not write in chapters and verses. They wrote a text. Paul wrote letters just like we do. How many of you wrote a letter to a friend and said, here's verse 1 of my letter, and then went down, here's verse 2 of my letter, and verse 3 and verse 4? Now you write a paragraph. An entire thought is contained in that paragraph. And this is why I like to encourage, it's not until 300 years later in 1551 that a fellow by the name of Robert Estienne took those chapters and chopped them up even further into verses. And have you ever been reading through the Bible and go, why did they stop that chapter right there? I mean, look at 1 Corinthians 12. He says, I want to tell you a more excellent way. And it's like, if you end your reading with chapter 12, what is it, Paul? What's the more excellent way? I need to know. Whereas if you were just reading it in the way it was originally written, let me tell you a more excellent way. And then he starts talking about love immediately. There's no chapter break. There's no pause in it. It's just a continuation of the thoughts. Now, these additions make it much easier to find various passages and to point people to certain parts of the Bible and to know where certain things are. That's the point of them. And again, this is why I've enjoyed reader versions. All the chapters and verses are gone. It's the text closer to the way it was originally delivered. Just the completeness of the text. You get thoughts. You know, it's in paragraphs, but that's it. Each thought is contained in that paragraph. And you get more of the context than if someone says, hey, go read chapter 12 or chapter 11. You get more of the context because you're getting the fullness of that. I mean, think about it. We read chapter 5, 6, and 7. Read 5 and 6 one week, 7 and 8 the next week, 5, 6, and 7 is all the Sermon on the Mount. By breaking it into chapters, we're breaking up this simple message that Jesus has provided. And that's just the way that it is. It's boring because we allow it to be boring. It's boring because we allow ourselves to read it in certain ways that it was not originally written to be read. And I think if we change up some of these things, It doesn't cost that much to get a reader's version. They're not that expensive. And they're worth it, personally, I think. We've gone through, in Petal, we started a reader's program called the Immersed Bible Reading Program. And it's reading through the Bible in these reader's Bibles. It was the new Living Translation. And so it was more of a paraphrase. And you're reading sections, not chapters and verses. You're reading thoughts and such, and it takes you through in not the normal way that the Bible is arranged. Like you might read Luke and Acts together instead of reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then Acts. You read Luke and Acts, and then you might read Mark and some of the epistles and such. And it just really changed the way in getting a more fullness and putting certain pieces together that need to be put together. Now the last thing, and I've only got a few moments, so we're going to have to look at it rather quickly. And this is probably the main reason why a lot of people won't read the Bible. Because they're afraid they're going to have to change. They realize that if they read the Bible, they look at their lives in comparison with others around them, and they go, you know, I'm as good as so-and-so. I'm a pretty good person. But they know deep down that if they read the Bible, there are going to be things in their lives that's going to have to change. They like who they are. They like what they are. They like what they believe, and they don't want to change. The Word of God is all about change. Look, if you would, in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, there in verse 1, the Apostle Paul is talking about being changed. He says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That's be changed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be changed, be transformed by the Word of God. As Paul is writing to the Christians there in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he gives a long list of not so great individuals, doesn't he? He says there in verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And what does he say next? And such were some of you. But you've been changed. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. If we want to be closer to God, we have to change. God is not changing. God will never change. He has never changed. If we want to be closer to God, if we want to follow after His will, then we have to be willing to change. If you read Colossians, that middle section there, Colossians chapter 3, is all about the change that is needed to be a child of God. You look there in Colossians chapter 3, the first 10 verses. He says, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above and not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Note, he lists sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, idolatry. Put these things away. He says in these two, verse 7, these two you once walked when you were living in them, but the Word of God changed you. He says, don't be lying to each other. Don't be mistreating one another. And as you get into verse 11, really there in verse 12, he says, put on then. You put off these old garments, this worldly mindset. Change from that to this. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against anyone, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. If you read the Bible, it's going to change you. If you read the Bible and allow it to do the work that it can do, it's going to change you. And that change is for the good. Look at your life and ask yourself, are you a kind, compassionate person? Do you show love to others? Something that's missing in this world is something that this world desperately needs. And the Bible is the way that we can put these things on, that binds everything together in perfect harmony. Going further there, in verse 15, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. This can only be done by regular Bible reading. I'm not saying regular Bible reading when the preacher reads from the Bible or someone reads from the Bible before services on Sunday or Sunday evening. I'm talking about you individually sitting down and reading your Bible more. Complacency in anything always leads to destruction. And when it comes to our mortal souls, shouldn't our focus be on heaven? And if our focus is on heaven, shouldn't our focus be on the one book that provides the way to salvation? And so the question for you this morning is, how are you doing in your regular reading and studying of the Word of God? 2 chapters a week so far. This week is just 1 chapter. Now, what was it? The book of Matthew was 3.5 hours, I think, to read the whole thing. So we could do that easily in a week, read the whole book. 2 chapters, that's not much at all. There's what, 28 chapters in the book of Matthew? And you start doing the math. Math in my head is not something I was ever that great of or that I want to do in front of everybody. But it's a short period of time to read 1 chapter out of that. Read chapter 13 every day. Or what I've been trying to do is read from Matthew 1 through to where we are each week. Or even better, when I don't have the time to sit down and read these, I listen to it. One car trip from Fulton to here, Matthew 1, this was a couple of weeks ago, Matthew 1 through Matthew 10. Just listen to it on the way up. And that was with it breaking up a little bit there when you're in between Tremont and here because the signal, I lost the signal a bit. You see how easy that is? You go back into the first century, they had to go down to the local synagogue and listen to whatever was being read. They could request, it seems, certain passages, certain books to be read from the Old Testament, but they had to go and listen. And that's one thing I like to point out. With those noble Bereans there in Acts chapter 17, they weren't going home and pulling out their own handy-dandy copies and searching the Scriptures daily. They were going to the local synagogue and asking to view these scrolls so that they could look at the things that Paul and others were saying to make sure that it was the truth. You see how hard they had to work every day, and yet we can go, you said you're going to read from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and boom, we've got it. Whether it's on our phones, in our physical copies. The Apostle Paul had something wonderful to say about the Bible as you looked in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, there in verse 16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Note verse 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. You want to learn more about God, the Creator? Read His Word. So how are you doing? Are you making time to read His Word? You say you don't have time? Well, look at all the things that you spend time on. Instead of watching the commercials during the game tonight, I know for some people that's the only reason to watch, but instead of watching the commercials, pull up your Bible app and read a passage of Scripture. I guarantee you, you'll be more edified than seeing what the latest, greatest stars are doing in those commercials. And commercials will be available on YouTube tomorrow. Take some time every day. Find some time to really give to reading the Word of God. Don't start with the goal of I'm going to read the Bible through the in a year if you've never done that before. It's too big. Don't put that pressure. Start small. Start easy. I'm going to give 10 minutes to reading the Word of God every day. Whether I'm getting up 10 minutes earlier or I'm going to read it instead of watching something on my phone when I'm eating breakfast or whatever, I'm going to read from the Word of God, or I'm going to listen to the Word of God. I'm going to listen to it on the way to work. You see, we can incorporate the Word of God in every aspect of our lives. I bought my kids the earbuds. I was like, I could use a set of those. And so I bought me a set, and I found when I go out to walk the dogs, it's a perfect time to listen to the Word of God or to listen to some podcasts that I have that are focused on the Word of God. I'm out walking the dogs, waiting for them to get ready to head back inside, and I'm devoting that time to something better. There's so many ways that we can incorporate the Word of God into our lives. If you've started and you failed, then okay, you did. So what? You know what today is? A new day. Tomorrow is another chance to start all over. And God's ready for you to just walk back into His Word. Strive to incorporate the Word of God into your life. If you've been reading and studying His Word and you see there's a need for change in your life, then why not make that change? That's the purpose of us coming together. Perhaps you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel and Jesus Christ. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and this is why I say Luke and Acts is what you should start with. Because Luke tells us about Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, that He came to this earth, He died having lived a perfect life to be that perfect sacrifice. And He arose from the dead so that we could have hope of life eternal. The book of Acts points out how He ascended into heaven and how everybody became a part of His kingdom that He had established. Acts chapter 2, we see where 3,000 repent and are baptized, become a part of the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 8, we see where others are obedient to the gospel story. Over and over throughout the book of Acts, we see how individuals were added to the Lord's church by submitting themselves in their belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting of the sins that had separated them, and being buried in baptism. That they can arise from that baptism to walk in newness of life. If there's a change that you need to make in your life, why not do so? If you know that there's a need for change, don't let that stop you from reading the Bible. Let it guide you. Experience the knowledge of God's grace and mercy that's so readily available. Whatever your situation might be, we encourage you to make your life right with God as we stand and as we sing.